young adult class, we've been having a series on the will of God, and as I was praying about this, God made it very clear to me that when it comes down to a missions revival, we should be praying for the will of God. And what does the missions revival hold for us as far as God's will goes? And so the thing about it is that we're gonna study the will of God here this morning, young adults. You kind of get a continuation of what we've been studying. The rest of you, once again, you are now officially young adults. And so, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And the will of God, a lot of people have this misconception on the will of God is just for major life-changing events, and we only have to seek the will of God young people have to seek the will of God on what college to go to and what to do with their lives and major things. But I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of aspects in the Christian life where we need to be seeking the will of God. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. The Bible says this: "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." If you don't mind, let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, I be honest with you, I don't know why you had me speak to this morning in Sunday school, but dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are all-powerful and all-knowing, and dear Heavenly Father, as we study the will of God, we desire the will of God. We pray that each one of us would find the will of God as far as the missions revival this week. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to put aside each excuse on or situation on why we shouldn't come to every night. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be eagerly anticipating what you have for us. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use each one of us as you'd see fit. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to find what you have for us out of this missions revival. Help us to be eager listeners as we hear the Word of God preached and taught. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we find that Philip has just led the eunuch to Christ here in the desert, and he was baptized. As the eunuch came up out of the water, we've seen that Philip was caught away. The thing about it is that God had something else for Philip here. And God moves around people as God sees fit. But here's the thing: is turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And verses 4 through 6, Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I'll be honest with you, when it comes down to the will of God, we need to ask the Lord what the will of God is for our lives. Just like this missions revival, I believe each and every one of us should be praying and asking God, God, what would you have me to learn? What would you have me to do? Would you have me pray more for the missionaries? Would you have me increase my giving to the missionaries? What would you have for me? Maybe an increased burden for lost souls. Here's the thing, as the Lord knows, each and every one of us should have an increased burden for lost souls. If we just look around, just even, all you gotta have to do is walk out to the street and see the person walking down the street, or the car driving by, or go to the grocery store and the cashier, or the people stocking the shelves, or even the people shopping. You don't have to go very far before you find somebody that doesn't know about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the thing about it is that we're surrounded by folks that need to know the Savior. And so when it comes down to a missions revival, we should be praying, Lord, what would you have for me out of this missions revival? I believe that a lot of us miss the boat by simply not asking God what he'd have for us to do. And so let me encourage, myself included, we all need to be praying. Here's the thing, is it's real easy to pray for, well, I tell you what, that Brother Aaron, Lord knows he needs it, you know? Anyways, here's the thing, is it's easy for us to pray for somebody else, but when When's the last time we prayed for the will of God in our lives? I tell you what, it's, you know, we all want Brother Watson to do more for Christ. We all want, you know, Lord knows he doesn't do much. No, just joking. Brother Watson does a lot for Christ. And praise God for Brother Watson. Love him a lot. And but he's still fun to tease, though. And so I didn't get very many amens. So I thought I'd get a whole crowd there. And but here's the thing is that, listen, it's, I tell you what, we're all eager to pray for somebody else. But how many times have we prayed what the will of God is for our lives? How many times have we prayed, God, is there something else that you want me to do? I tell you what, y'all, Lord, please lead Pastor Lance. You know, when's the last time we prayed that God would lead us? When's the last time that we prayed that God would speak to our hearts? When's the last time we prayed, hey, God, if there's something in my life that needs removed, just tell me and I'll remove it. You know, too many times we're seeking the will of God for somebody else. We're giving our opinions on what somebody else should be doing. But we need to be asking God, what do you want accomplished? And see, here's the thing is that the most common mistake that people often try when trying to determine God's will is they try and determine God's will based on their own desires. Well, God, this, you know, this is what I desire to do, and so this must be the will of God. And, you know, young adults, we talked about putting out a fleece, and sometimes we take and we put out the fleece, and I won't ask for a show of hands. How many times, you're seeking God's will and you flip a coin, and it lands wrong, and you're like, all right, best 2 out of 3. And so you're flipping again. All right, you know, best 50 out of 100, you know, and you wait until the odds play in your favor. And, but the thing about it is that, listen, we shouldn't be trying to seek God based on our desire. We should be seeking God based on His desire. God, what do you want me to do? And when we were praying, God brought to my mind about how, and I know I should have been praying, don't you know, but here's the thing is that, listen, sometimes when you're nervous, you pray and you're just begging God, please, you know. And so here's the thing is that, listen, the greatest is a servant. Christ came to be a servant. And so here's the thing is, we should be a servant. You look at a servant in the Bible, and I tell you what, I don't know, we've all heard this in the past, but a servant has no desires of their own. They're consumed with the will of the master. And that, when we're trying to find the will of God, we should be consumed with the will of the master. Lay all of our desires aside, lay all of our thoughts aside. Here's the thing is, all you got to do is read through Scripture, and there's times where, you know what, people thought they knew the will of God, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, and you know, their desires got in the way, and they did things that they didn't think should happen, and you know what, they realized that they were totally wrong. You know, I remember the statement, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And here's the thing is that good intentions mean a lot, but what means the most is what is the will of God. And you know, we've got to be careful about putting out a fleece, so to speak. You know, where we should start with the will of God is this book right here. And the last week's lesson, last week's lessons was being a student of the Bible. And here's the thing is, how are we ever supposed to find the will of God if we're not a student of the Bible? You know, here's the thing is, there's so much in Scriptures that God tells us on how we should live our lives, how we should find the will of God. And if we're not students of the Bible, then what happens is we start using our own desires. We start using our own common sense, so to speak. And what we need to do is go to the Scriptures. And here's the thing is, too many times I've had people come to me and say, well, I believe it's the will of God for me to do thus and so on. And I look at them and say, how come that contradicts Scripture? God never contradicts Himself. If the Bible calls it wrong, I guarantee you it's not God's will.
That's right.
And so we need to be students of the Bible. And too many times we, not necessarily us in this room, but Christians in general, we take and we use our own logic. We say, well, you know what? This makes sense to me. Well, here's the thing is, it doesn't matter what makes sense to me. What makes sense to God? What's in this word right here? Here's the thing is, we hold in our laps the very Word of God, preserved and inspired. And listen, it's not there to collect dust. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not preaching just to you, I'm preaching to me too. The thing about it is we all should be students of this book. And if any one of us say, well, I've arrived, and you know what, I don't have to improve, we're a liar. And so that's why, you know what? Kudos to you guys for coming to Sunday school. Because a lot of times the folks that come to Sunday school are the ones that desire to learn, desire to grow. And here's the thing is those folks that say, well, I don't need Sunday school. Sunday school's for kids. I'll be honest with you. According to the Word of God, those are the people that need it the most. And so, but anyways, back to the Sunday school lesson. Next is wait for God's leading. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 12 and 13. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. I'm almost there myself. All right, the Bible says this. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him 12 and called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And so here you have the very Son of God, and I'll tell you what, if anybody, you know, you'd think if anybody didn't need to pray, surely it's the Son of God, you know? He is God. And but here you have, it came time to call the 12 disciples, and here you have, he went into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And here's the thing is, if the very Son of God needed to spend all night in prayer before he made an important decision, how much more prayer should we pray? I tell you what, here you have the very perfect Son of God. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, and we go back to the last important decision, how much prayer have we prayed? When was the last time we decided to sacrifice a little sleep and pray all night long? When's the last time we were so burdened with somebody else, with their spiritual or health condition, that we decided, I'm going to lose some sleep, and I'm going to pray all night long? Now, the thing about it is that, you know what? I believe that I am here tonight because I've had people in my life that prayed all night long. And you know what? Here's the thing is, I'm not here because I'm someone special. And those of you that know me know that to be the case, Brother Watson. So, I knew it. I knew the moment I started saying that. And but anyways, I love you, Brother Watson. And the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down, people like Brother Watson make things a lot more interesting. And so anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, I am a product of many people praying, caring, and investing. So why wouldn't I pray, care, and invest? When's the last time, here's the thing is, when's the last time we spent all night in prayer? When's the last time we said more than just, hey, bless Brother Watson, we know he needs it. And anyways, when's the last time we spent all night in prayer? The Lord here is revealing that he had to wait all night in prayer. So how much are we willing to wait in prayer? And so when it comes down to it, we need to make sure that we're men and women of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, if we were to take a survey, I believe I read a survey a little while back. It's been a few years, and I can't remember the numbers, but it was staggering on how little the average Christian prayed. Now, I know this wasn't just Baptists. It was anybody that called themselves Christians, but I want to say it was something like 10 to 15 minutes a day in prayer. Boy, I hope that isn't the case, because if it is, that would explain why America's in the condition that she's in. That would explain why churches are in the condition that they are in. That's why so many times Christians are not Christians, but churches are closing their doors. It's because the folks inside the doors aren't praying. I sure hope that that's not the case here. I don't believe it is. But the thing about it is we need to, here's the thing is, when it comes down to something like a missions revival, I'll be honest with you, we should have had more in our cottage prayer meetings, because prayer is so vital to a revival service. You know, when you go back through the major revivals of, well, just think about D.L. Moody. You know what? He had a group of ladies praying for him, and God used him. And here's the thing is, we can't expect God to work if we haven't been praying, if we're not yielded over to God. And so when it comes down to finding the will of God, we've got to be willing to wait in prayer. And then also, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. We need to remain open to God's leading. And I know this is a little bit like the earlier point, but I believe it's something that needs to be talked about. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Aren't you glad that nobody is named Agabus here? And so I tell you what, I'm glad we have George and Tom and John and normal names, you know. And so here's the thing, is when he came, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth his girdle and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem at the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. And there went with us a certain of the disciple of Caesarea, and brought with them, and it goes on. Here's the thing is that we need to remain open to God's leading. You know, when it comes down to it, here you have a prophet that said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth the girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Paul was a godly man, but when it came down to his desire to go to Jerusalem, he was wrong. And the thing about it is sometimes we have and it kind of goes back to the statement I made earlier, sometimes the road to hell is paved by good intentions. There are a lot of people all through Bucyrus that have the best intentions in the world, but until they get saved, until they trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, they're on the way to hell. And here's the thing is, we're talking some great people. We're talking some of the nicest people ever. This is why we've got to share the gospel. The Bible says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing is, if somebody is trying to go to the Father any other way, through good works, through the rosary, through anything else, here's the thing is, the Bible says there's one way to Jesus Christ there's one way to God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the thing about it is some of the greatest people, they're some of the nicest people ever, but here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to share the gospel, the word of God, and we need to remain open to God's leading. And Paul was a godly man when it came down to it, aren't you glad the man of God doesn't talk to people the way he did back then? Here's the thing is, if Aaron was talking about moving, all of a sudden he rips off Aaron's coat and starts tying his hands and feet and hog tying him, you know? And that's kind of what happened here. And what if you move? You know, but here's the thing is that God works in different ways then, but here's the thing is that when it came down to it, too many times we let, and it kind of goes on to what we said earlier, too many times we allow our desires to get in the way of what God's will is. And so when it comes down to it, we need to be praying, "God, what is your will? What is your desire?" And as the end result, he went to Jerusalem, and there he is in prison for 2 years, when I believe he could have been free. And when it comes down to it, we need to take and seek, we need to put aside our desires and seek the will of God. The next step is to be satisfied with the present will of God until God reveals the new. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Bible says in verses 11 through 13, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are there all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." And verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." And so here we have Samuel just finished anointing David, And he went back to Ramah. But where did David go? When you study the scriptures, he went back to tending his father's sheep. And you know, the thing about it is that sometimes when we know the will of God, we've got to make sure that the timing is right. We've got to make sure the timing is right. But here's the thing is David was not ready to become king right then. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get impatient. And we just like this, we work with young people a lot. You know, they find the right person for their lives, but they're not willing to wait until the right timing. And maybe they're dating in high school and they're willing to sacrifice their future on the altar of now. Or maybe they're wanting to rush the steps of marriage before the right time. But here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, even if we know the will of God, we've got to be patient on the when of God's will. One of the most interesting studies you'll ever study is how God prepared David to become king. And, you know, David was, God used David in a great way, but only because he did not rush what he had. Because here's the thing is, David wasn't ready to be king because the king's, the throne was not vacant at that point in time. Can you imagine? You know, the Bible talks about here, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Imagine if David were to walk up to Saul. All right, step aside. My time. And, it probably wouldn't have gone well. And so anyways, here's the thing is when it comes down to it, we've got to be willing to wait for the right timing. And when you study the life of David, there were some key life-changing things that God was preparing David that if he had rushed it, if he had not waited, God would not have used him in a great way. And, you know, I can look back at my life and I can see how, God had his hand on where I was and what I was doing. Before God called us here, we were in New Jersey. And, I swore up and when we went to college, my wife and I told my wife when we left the Chicago area that, you know what? And I think I even said something like this. I'm like, I hope God never brings me to another big city again. And I remember thinking, great, I just done myself in. and then God called us towards New Jersey. But the thing about it is that the time we spent in New Jersey, God had prepared us for what He had for us here. For instance, we had learned how to do a veteran service in New Jersey. There was so much that God had prepared us for. Even if I knew that God was calling us to come here eventually in the future, I'll be honest with you. If I had my choice, I probably would have skipped New Jersey. And, you know, what good comes out of New Jersey? And, but anyways, the thing about it is, you know what? I would have missed what God had, as a preparation for when we had moved here. And so the thing about it is that we've got to take and make sure God's timing is right. A lot of times we want to jump God's timing, we want to skip God's timing, we want to rush forward. And what happens is we miss the blessings, we miss the training, we miss the preparation that God has for us. And so we've got to be careful about that. And what time does it quit? In 2 minutes. All right, I have 2 minutes to throw out one more point to you. And so next one is, do not tell God how to tell you. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, and he came hither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant and thrown down the altars and slain the prophets with the sword. I only am left that they seek my life and to take it away. By the way, that kind of sounds familiar to Elijah on the mountain too, huh? I only remain a prophet. Here's the thing is, when he was saying it then, he was a victor. Here he's saying it as a defeated Christian. And so he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, but after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous. And he goes on. See, the thing about it is I don't know about you, but I would expect somebody as powerful as God to be in an earthquake. I would expect somebody as mighty as God to be in a wind that could just tear apart things. But at the same point in time, God saw fit to be the still small voice. And so the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, we can't tell God how He's going to speak to us. There are times, now here's the thing, is that a lot of times we try and force things. But look back at scriptures. When Balaam was trying to meet Balak against the will of God, God spoke to him through a donkey. When it was time to move Moses out of the desert into Egypt to deliver his people, God used a burning bush. When God wanted to use Gideon to deliver his people from the Midianites, He used an angel. When God wanted to assure Gideon of what he was supposed to do, He used the fleece. And it goes on. And the thing about it is that we need to make sure that whatever means God uses to tell us, number one, that it's of God, but also we need to listen to the voice of God. And anyways, we'll quit right there. And here's the thing, I guess my prayer is that you get the gist of the fact that it is imperative for each one of us to seek the will of God. And it's imperative for each one of us to study the Word. It's imperative for all of us to pray and to seek God's face. We need to listen for the voice of God. I sincerely believe that if any of us sit through a revival service like this and we kind of zone out or we check ourselves out and we say, you know what, this revival service is for someone else, I believe we've missed the point of the revival service. But I believe that if we're going to get the most out of a revival service, we're going to sit through and we're going to be praying, we're going to be studying, we're going to be begging God, God, show me what you have for us. Show me what you have for me. And here's the thing we need to be more worried about. I remember one preacher said, you know what? Let's take and draw a circle around ourselves. And let's be worried about that one person. And let's be worried about what God has for us. And the thing about it is when we take and we decide what God's will is before even consulting God, or we take and we start using our own reasoning over this book right here, I'll be honest with you, at that point in time, one of the points that I didn't get to is, you know, God uses means. And the thing about it is it seems like the more stubborn we are, the greater the means. Imagine a talking donkey. You think that's a big deal. And so here's the thing is that you know, God used a still small voice with Elijah. God used a talking donkey. What will it take God to get our attention? And so anyways, let's just give God our attention right off and say, God, listen, whatever your will is, that's what I want. And God, through this revival, I want you to speak to me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these references and these verses. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to seek your will. Dear Heavenly Father, I really believe just by the simple fact that we're here in Sunday school, that shows a desire. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be open to what you have for us. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use this revival in a great and mighty way. Help us to become better servants for you. Help us to be more sold out to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be more soul conscious, more missions minded. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so many here in Bucyrus and around the world that have not heard about Jesus Christ, have not trusted in Jesus Christ and the shed blood and the finished work of Calvary. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be vigilant. Help us to not be just ho-hum about it, but I pray that you just help us to have a renewed fervor and vision in Jesus' name. Amen.